You know, we go through seasons as women, and I feel like there are just different seasons, and I am personally in the season of kind of getting myself back.
Insane toddler who is just goes from one thing that she shouldn't do to the next thing that she shouldn't do to the next thing that she shouldn't do.
I feel like my feminine energy and my happiness and everything thrives so much more when there is a masculine container holding my lifestyle.
Sleep in postpartum is so hard for women. It feels violating for too long, you know, it really affects you.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. Today, we are doing one of our life updates. People love these episodes because we share the nitty-gritty details about our own lives. And we are doing a challenge and a win, both of us, me and Dr. Morgan. And just to let you know, this episode does get a little emotional, especially on Dr. Morgan's side, but there's also some really big positives as well. So for inspiration, for connection, for just learning about our own journeys as women and mothers, come check it out.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are going to do a life update episode today, which we try to place one of these per season usually, or about, whereabouts, thereabouts, however you say that. And we've got a lot of positive feedback that people like these. And so we hope that you do still now. Let us know. And today specifically, that life update is we're going to share a win and a challenge and of what's going on personally in our lives. Instead of just kind of like a anything goes, it'll be like more specifically what's a specific challenge that you're going through right now or a specific win. And let's just go ahead and get going.
Yay.
My update would be that Sunday has turned some kind of corner. And I know she's getting teeth too. She's getting her molars, and then she was sick, but she is so challenging for me right now. And I'm like, I think to myself, what if we had just the 2-year gap and I had a newborn alongside this insane toddler who is just goes from one thing that she shouldn't do to the next thing that she shouldn't do to the next thing that she shouldn't do. And it's like, I mean, it's like, are you doing this because she's happy? She has been more upset and crying and throwing tantrums and stuff like that more lately, which is fine. It's like, whatever, it's a phase. But when she's doing these things that are like today, multiple times, I thought I got rid of them all and I didn't. They're because it's like all the letters of the alphabet. So I guess there's 26 of them and I don't know where she's finding them. But there's these little wooden letters that are maybe like 1.5 to 2 inches tall. Mm-hmm. And she keeps putting them down the floor vent register.
No.
In our pantry.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And start on fire?
And she's, well, it's closed. Thank God. And it's too hard for her to open it. So they just are sitting there and then I can like pop off that top thing and I can empty it out and I can like collect them. So I've been like collecting them and then I'm just throwing them away because I, first of all, don't even know where she got them. I know that we don't have the complete set. It's from like an old homeschooling tool from like a long time ago. Right. I guess I could keep them, but no, I can't. I can't. I literally don't have the bandwidth to say, oh, okay, I'm going to collect all these little pieces. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound crazy for people who have like zero kids or maybe one kid. It's going to sound so wasteful, but I do not have the bandwidth to keep some of them in like a bag and then hope that at some point in several months I find the rest of the set and the pieces or like figure out something to do with them. No, like to me, I'm looking at them right now as a hazard and I'm like, get these out of my house because she is doing crazy things with them. Or like, you know, I'm running around this morning, like Wes was out of town this morning and she woke me up at 5:45. So, I mean, she did not sleep last night. So I'm complaining also coming from a place of like feeling really, really, really tired.
Yeah.
Which makes me so nervous about how am I going to do this with a newborn again? But, you know, you adapt. But right now I'm not adapted to that. And I really want my sleep. And she fought with me like all night long about sleep. But anyway.
So hard.
I'm like, I had so many hours in the morning to get everybody ready for school and like make the lunches, unload the dishwasher, make breakfast. Like I made a Dutch baby. I've been making Dutch babies more, which is just like a sourdough starter discard egg pancake thing that you bake, but
Oh.
they love it and it's very high protein and it tastes good and it's like easier than trying to figure out like what everybody's gonna eat. So, but oh, wait, what was it? Why was I gonna bring that up this morning? Oh, and then, you know, like in the hustle bustle of everything, she sneaks away into the bathroom and closes the door, and I didn't notice. And so then I'm like, where is Sunday? Like, it's too quiet, you know?
Oh no.
And I'm going around in all the usual places, and she's not in those places. And so then I see that the bathroom door is closed, which normally it is, and we close it specifically so that she can't get in there because luckily she cannot open doors yet. We have like round knobs on purpose, specifically so that our kids cannot, like our toddlers cannot open the door. Because if it's just like a handle where they can pull it down, boom, you're screwed. So anyway, I go in there and she's like sucking on the end of the toothpaste thing that all of the kids use, like just eating it, sucking on it. She has like a cold, she's had a cold, and I'm just
Oh
so annoyed because
no.
it keeps happening. And then there's toothpaste all over her face and her hands. And you know, I don't buy cheap toothpaste either. It's like one of those things that's very frustrating. My kids already use it too much. So it was, I don't know. It's just like one of those mornings where a very real mom moment morning of being like, what is going on? How is this all going to come together? And it's just tough. Like I know it's normal development of like a 2.25-year-old kid, but it does feel like, wait, what? When is this gonna stop? Like sometimes she'll have spans of where she'll like play and you know things are normal and stuff, but then it's like very intense moments of destruction. Like that's all I can think of. It's like if you if she gets a hold of anything, she will destroy it. Like she will pick it apart, rip it apart, rip like throw it, break it, put it somewhere it's not supposed to be, draw on it, crumple it up. Like it and it's within like seconds. It's almost like having a puppy that all of a sudden gets a hold of something and then you're like, oh, where'd it go? Oh, Sunday had it? Okay, it's like ruined now.
Wow, that's
It's not just
so
like she
interesting.
takes things and like holds them. It's not like she just holds them and like looks at them. No, she I don't even know. It's really interesting. And she's just
I feel like that seems almost more like boy behavior, because I know Kate is much more, or
yeah,
maybe
well,
my daughter,
and she's like
Avia, was just
maniacally.
not that way.
Yeah, and none of my other kids have been this way. Like they and the thing is that she's like skipping and prancing around the house, like literally like hee.
A
We figured
little
out the other day, we're like, oh my gosh, Sunday actually laughs with an H-E-H-E, hee. Like that is what it sounds like when she laughs.
leprechaun.
And so she's so happy, and it's like you can't really be mad at her, but it is so annoying and hard for me right now, feeling like, oh gosh, and I'm so worried. Like I like makes me want to cry. Ah, about postpartum. I'm like, how am I going to take care of a newborn and not be like mad at her? Oh my gosh, sorry, this is not the purpose of this episode. But I'm like, I because it does, it makes me like mad, you know. I don't know how these moms who have like unlimited, unflowing, ever flowing like patience for their kids. I don't have that. And it's usually too because like the story always is in my head is like I'm trying to get something else done and it's like being interrupted or being kind of like ruined, quote unquote ruined. But I was talking about this with our friend Eliza the other day. Like she had AirPods sitting on her island. And I was like, wait a minute. I would never be able to keep AirPods on my island. Like, what, your kids don't touch these? And she's like, oh, what? No. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, those would be gone in 1 second and I would never find them again. Like, I feel like there's something I maybe have not taught my kids along the way. All of them, but specifically Savi and Sunday. So the 7-year-old and then the 2-year-old, they don't, I don't know if they don't consciously realize it, but they like walk by the island and like grab things or touch it or move it or open it, like something that's unopened. And I'm like, what? You don't know what that is? Don't open it. Like it was maybe a present for someone else. Or it's like, to me, an island, I don't love this, but it is what it is. It's like, it's a place to just kind of like put stuff that needs to, is in transition. It's like, I need to do something with it, you know? And I don't know. I don't know. So I'm like constantly battling everyone in my house, it feels like, to not like lose things, destroy things, rip them, tear them apart, you know, whatever, because it just happens all the time. And I'm like getting really sick of that because the hypervigilance seems to have ramped up where like things are just, you know, or like it's the drawing on the walls or her putting those alphabet letters down the register. Like at all times, I feel like something is about to be like mess up, you know, not just a mess on the floor, but like, and that happens too. But I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
No.
I don't know. It's like a different level right now, and it's very obnoxious to me. So sorry, I'm kind of like not in the best mood.
That's okay.
But whatever. I know that there will be some people who relate because it's just like, what is going on, you guys? Like,
Yeah.
I would have never, I think this is another thing, is I would have never done that as a kid. I would have known not to do that. And I question my parenting where I'm like, why do my kids not think that that, why, like, where along the way did I give them the impression that they like rule this house? Like, I don't, if anything, Wes is telling me all the time I'm like too strict as a parent. And I'm like, well, I'm obviously not strict enough because they have no respect for any of my stuff. Like, I would never do that. Would you, like, would you as a kid
No.
randomly take stuff and just
No, never.
what?
And I mean, no, I would never do that. I mean, and maybe it is Wes. Maybe he's too lax. And so it's like they just don't really, it's not like the unified front of like they just feel like they can do whatever because it's always you being the one that's like, don't do that. And it's, you know, I don't know, maybe he doesn't reciprocate. I have no idea. I just, yeah,
I
it's,
don't know if he even like notices.
yeah,
Yeah,
he
he
probably
probably he
wouldn't even
doesn't like
notice.
notice as much as I do.
Yeah, no, but I would never
And
do
so then
that.
maybe like they don't notice. No, but I would have never. I would have been in trouble and I would have learned one time probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember exactly, but whatever. It is what it is. It's just like one of those parenting things where I'm like, "What do I how do I what do I do about this?" Like because I tell them constantly. I'm like, "Please stop touching the things up on the island," or like, you know, so I'll be cooking. And then I have things kind of lined up, or I have things in piles, like the produce that I'm about to chop up, whatever. And Savi will come up and she'll just like pick up a potato and pick up a carrot and look at them and then put them back down somewhere random. And I'm like, wait a minute, have I washed that one or not? Like, what are you doing? Like, just get away from my stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
Yeah, I think
hard.
it comes from a place of overwhelm because normally those kinds of things I wouldn't shouldn't bother somebody. It's a very normal kid thing to do in a way. Like, that act is not defiant. It's just curious, but it also just feels like too much
Yeah.
on top of other stuff.
I mean, does it feel like a lack of respect or an aloofness?
It feels it feels very unconscious. It's not like they, it feels like they're just walking by and seeing something. Like, okay, the other day, I don't know why, like, I'm so emotional today. This is pregnancy mixed with lack of sleep, okay? But it feels okay, like one of the reasons why sleep in postpartum is so hard for women, in my theory, is, and this isn't really my theory, but I mean, it's just like one angle to look at it. It's not even just, there's lots of ways that it causes issues, but it's not just the physiological effects of lack of sleep on the body and then like how everything feels harder. It feels violating. Like, it feels, like it's, there's a need. Gosh, you guys, sorry. This is just going to be a teary moment, and that's okay.
That's okay. This is
But it
real
feels
life.
like, you know, like, yeah, like sleep is a need. And when you just don't get it for too long, you know, it really affects you. And to me, I think one of the ways that I manage everything that I do, like, you know, with the kids and homeschooling and like keeping up with the homeschooling recommendations from the state and keeping up with the stuff that's going on at their school and like keeping up with my emails and making sure that the brand partnerships are going well and like whatever, and checking in about the podcast, you know, like all the different things that we do all the time, and scheduling my husband's colonoscopy, and like, which he like, yeah, he can schedule it, but he's not going to. Like, I know him and I love him, and it's my joy to do it for him because I want it done, and he will get distracted and 6 months will go by and he won't do it. And I'm like, no, you're getting a freaking colonoscopy. You're 44. Like, you're doing it. So anyway, of all of the mental load stuff that's going on in my head, I think that sometimes when I do make an effort to be organized to make a system for myself and then it still gets messed up by something, I'm so much more like hopeless feeling, you know, like the other day, this is so dumb. It's so dumb. And like non-pregnant me or non-overwhelmed me or well-slept me would be like, Morgan, like, that is so not a reason to blow up. But I had made a list of stuff that I wanted to get done, like around the house, you know, like WD-40 the door to the garage, which is right next to our bedroom door, and it's so loud, and like, you know, they go in and out of there, whatever, stuff like that. Replace the batteries on the smoke detector upstairs mm-hmm. that's been disconnected now for months, which makes me very anxious. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this, let's do that. It was kind of like a honey-do list because it was mm-hmm. stuff that I really needed Wes to do, I wanted Wes to do, but it also had stuff on it for me, you know, like vacuuming and laundry and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And my mom or my mother-in-law was coming into town that day too. And so we were trying to get some stuff done before she did. And I had this list on the island and we were like checking things off and we were putzing around and the kids were helping like keep clean spaces and stuff. It was a nice day outside. So they were kind of in and outside and whatever. And then all of a sudden the paper is gone. And I'm like, oh, what? And I, you know, I maybe got back from like putting Sunday down or something. I don't know. Maybe I like had gone to the bathroom. I had been gone for like a few minutes at a time, not like putzing around in the kitchen area. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's not on the island. And I'm like, what? So I'm kind of looking around and it's on the table. And my girls are like major artists. They love to draw and there's constantly markers. And this is my fault too. You know, like we're Sunday drawing on the walls. It's like she has very easy access to markers and mm-hmm. I get that and I could make it harder, but then I would make it harder for them. And mm-hmm. they love to draw and like, you know, they're washable markers. It's annoying to me, but whatever. I just need to be watching more, I guess. But anyway, somebody put the list on the table. Luckily, Sunny cannot reach things on the island. It's actually raised up like 6 inches. We did that when we built the house because we're so tall. Mm-hmm. And so someone put the list on the table and Sunday scribbled all over it in black marker and I couldn't read my list anymore. And no. I was just like,
oh no, why? I'd be very upset. Like that, I would be very upset. That's not a irrational thing to be upset about because it's just, yeah, it's like, I feel like she's old enough to learn that like, this is my thing. This is my important thing. Like you don't touch it.
No, I guess, I don't think so. But yeah, thank you for saying that because Wes was like, why are you like Moses? It's a list. And I'm like, no, but it's my brain yeah. organization. Like I didn't write it down anywhere else. Like, and moreover, it's just the principle of the matter to me. It's like, who moved it? Why did you move it? Mm-hmm. You know? And so then I come to find out. So I freaked out. I was like beside myself. Like I was crying and I was yelling and I was just like, you guys, like I felt hopeless. You know, I was like, can you all stop? Cause they were all kind of like cleaning and doing different stuff or like playing. And I had everybody stop, like all five of them were there, all four kids and Wes. Kind of like somewhere within visual distance of where I was standing at the island. And I was like, can we just like make a rule that if you don't know what something is, if it is not your piece of property, don't mm-hmm. touch it. And when yeah. I say don't touch it, I mean literally no fingers on it. I don't mm-hmm. want it touched at all. Mm-hmm. Look with your eyeballs. Don't pick it up. Don't move it. Don't turn it around. Don't flip it. Don't turn it 90 degrees. Don't see what it feels like. Don't check if it's hot. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to touch it. Like, mm-hmm. this is so annoying to me. And so they're all kind of like looking at me wide-eyed, like I'm having this freak out moment. And Wes is kind of trying to interrupt me. And I'm like, no, just let me finish, you know. And then it turns out that he told Sloan to get it because Sloan wanted to write. What did she want to write? Oh, the water pressure on our water fountain all of a sudden just like tanks sometimes. And it's mm-hmm. like, it like barely comes out. And the kids use it all the time. So mm-hmm. she wanted to write on there, fix the water fountain, because it's kind of like an involved task. It's not just very quick. It takes like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they had been telling him to do that like all week and he hadn't done it. And so she was going to write it. And she's very proud of herself now because she can write. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, yeah, write it on the list. When I was gone, he was like, yeah, go ahead, write it on the list. But then she left it on the table because she's five. And mm-hmm. it's like, why would she know to put it back on? You know, I get it. There's too many steps of cognition for her to know, well, if I leave it here, Sunday's going to get it. You know, yeah. that what I would maybe expect my 10-year-old to do, but probably not even. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, it was sort of like an innocent thing. Like she, and then, so then I look at the list and I see this cute little 5-year-old handwriting. Oh. And this is what made me cry even more because I was just like, oh, like here I like freaked out on everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was like she had done something sweet. Like she was trying to contribute to the list and she's so proud of her writing. And it was something that needed to get done. It was more just the like, the fact that then Sunday ruined it. Like, mm-hmm. and I mean, I could still kind of see it. It was just the print, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, like those kinds of moments in motherhood to me are like so devastating. Like I really wish I could just go back in time and stop the whole thing from happening, like erase it, because it was a misunderstanding on my part. Although there was still the root cause of me feeling bubbling up frustration around this, like, you know, inability in my own house to put something somewhere and know that it's not going to get moved. Like, yeah. I kind of feel like a squirrel now. Like, I put really important stuff in, like, my closet up in a shelf because I'm like, I cannot trust that someone isn't going to come and move this around and take it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know that it's not malicious. Like, I do know that about my kids. They're not trying to mess with my life, mm-hmm. but they just don't, like, think that it's a big deal. They're like, well, I you know, or the, like, Eliza was asking me, she's like, well, what would your kids do with the AirPods? I was enacting it. I was like, so I walked by them and I just grabbed them and, like, looked at them and then, like, chucked them on her couch. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what my kids would do. They would just, like, look at something and then, like, maybe even just, like, toss it on the floor, or I don't even know. I'd be like, what are you doing? And then if you mm-hmm. call their attention to they're like, oh, oops. Like, they're like, oh, sorry. Or like, I didn't know. Or I don't know. I can't even, like, think of an example. They're just, they meddle with stuff that I wish that they didn't. And I know, that's so it doesn't feel like, no matter how much I tell them not to, I don't know what to do. These are those, like, parenting moments where I'm just like, mm-hmm. Do I make a consequence for them touching things on the, in a certain area of the house? Like, I don't know if I have the bandwidth to even keep up with that. Like, it just overwhelms me that there's more that I would need to do around mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. and it cannot just flow and be, like, easy. I don't know. This is such a nitty gritty detail, but to me, I see so many personally in my, like, the things that are hard for me with parenting. Like, it's a microcosm to the macrocosm of what makes parenting feel overwhelming to me. Like, it's, mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this before. Like, it's not the noise. It's not the thing. It's like, it's the me trying to keep it all together. Okay. This is what it's like. It's like, I get a vision of, like, an older woman crocheting, like, a big long blanket. And at the end of the blanket, they're, like, teasing it. They're, like, pulling it all apart. And I'm, like, trying so hard to keep it all together. Oh. And I didn't even notice. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't even notice that they were doing that because I was so focused on what I was trying to get done. And I guess that some people are going to be like, well, then pay better attention to your kids. You shouldn't have so many kids if you can't be watching them, make sure that they're not doing these things. And it's like, yeah, maybe, Karen. But also, it's like, there are people with double the amount of kids that I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, you know, maybe this is just a dynamic. Maybe this is happening to everybody. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't feel like my kids are old enough to know one way or another how they would be. I mean, Cade gets into everything, but he also, I reward him a lot when he puts things away. So both my kids are very motivated by, like, doing well and getting word rewards. Like, I think they both have words of affirmation as their love languages, which is an amazing thing because that's how I give love. And so they are very impacted if I mean, we hardly ever yell. It's not who I am. I don't. It's so rare. If I even say something like Avia, she will literally, like, go in the corner and she's, like, sad and she tells me, she's like, you yelled at me and that makes me sad when you yell at me, you know, and then I talk about it and we fix it, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea. Like, you have never been around normal parents who, like, yell or do anything. Like, we don't yell. Mike nor I yell. We're just not yellers. But they are so hypersensitive to words in both ways. Like, if we even have a slight tone in our voice, you know, like, it's just earth shattering to them. But same with positive reinforcement. So, like, Cade now, you know, I'll reward him if he puts things away. So now he does this thing where he gets things out so that he can put them away and be rewarded for it. And it's like, I know that's part of the process of, like, okay, you know, because, like, he wants to do it himself. But I just don't feel like my kids are old enough to, like, I don't know. They don't really touch my stuff. I mean, Cade does. Like, he'll take my earplugs and my eye mask that I sleep on at night, you know, he'll get them out of the drawer and, like, take them all over the house, or, you know, supplements. But yeah, I just don't feel like they're old enough to even, like, take things off the counter, and he's not in a destroying season, and Avia never really was in that season. So I don't have as much experience personally, but I'm sure this happens all the time. Also, I feel like it's probably so different in households where the girls are older. And I know that's generalizing and that's not fair, But even just like the difference between our friend Eliza's household and yours, I just feel like girls are a little bit more attentive to detail, which I know you said Savi's does it too, but I just feel like when there's more kids, the older ones are sort of parent-like and they start to parent the little ones of like holding them responsible and having the boundaries of, and maybe your kids don't know the boundaries, maybe setting up better boundaries, but it sounds like you have created the boundaries of this is what's okay, this is what's not okay. And then they have to kind of work within that. Like if they don't know that that's wrong and you're upset, that's like, okay. But if they know like you are not allowed to do this and they do it anyways, then that's like a, you know, that's where it becomes an issue. But I see how you would feel overwhelmed to have to then implement that whole, you know, reward or punishment system.
Yeah, like a consequence structure. Yeah.
But it sounds like it comes down to just like encouraging them to be more aware. Just and I don't know how you teach that, like if that's a personality trait or if it's something of just awareness and then also respect. Like they wouldn't do that at a stranger's house, would they? Like you think they would just, I don't know, maybe they would, of like, you know, teaching them to respect other people's things and the things that you do. And like when I put these things here, like an AirPod, like you would never touch that because that's something expensive and that's something that's not yours. And I don't know. I don't know how you would teach that, but maybe just understanding the respect of other things and other people's stuff. And gosh, I don't even know. I'm clearly not a parent.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe I haven't talked about it with them enough until recently to express like how strongly I feel about it. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. But yeah, like you said about girls though, Savi is starting to like police and parent other, you know, everybody around her and stuff, which I'm telling her not to do because I'm like, please, like you are not the parent. I'm the parent. I got it. Like, but it is helpful when it's, well, okay. What I don't want her to do is like reprimand her siblings because I'm like, that is not your job.
Yeah. That's just
I will
control.
Reprimand them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And it's like, okay, you're being, and she loves to do it with the dogs too. Like if the dogs do something different, you know, naughty, she'll be like, keep her. And I'm like, okay, Savi, thank you. Like, I got it. I don't need you to be the one to like, I know that she's trying. She's like, I'm trying to help. And I'm like, I get it, but you just go be a kid. Like you go have fun and stuff, but it is really helpful. She is becoming, and Sloan, actually both of them all of a sudden are so much more aware with Sunday in like reporting things to me that are happening or helping me with different stuff or helping her physically, like helping Sunday get in a place where that she couldn't get there herself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. Because yeah, inherently that is not how Gage is.
Yeah.
He is like very 10-year-old boy doing his whole own thing. Like lack of awareness is a major something going on for
him. I have noticed that about him, and that's what I'm saying, like I don't know if that's personality. And then it's so hard because not that every child takes after their other sibling, I definitely didn't with my brother, but he kind of sets the tone of, you know, like maybe the aloofness of just like, you know, there's not as much intentionality, but that could be his personality. But then the girls have sort of like seen that as the model, or I don't know. It's so hard to know what is personality and what is just the way things are. But yeah, I feel like Gage does seem that way sometimes. Like he's just sort of like.
And then developmentally too. It's like, you know, where is it? Yeah. Where is it developmentally normal? What are they doing? One track mind, you know, it's like male. It's very male. One track mind. Whereas it's like the female diffuse attention.
Yes.
Like
100%.
It's very normal what he's doing, but it is hard having him be. Yeah, the one that they're maybe all looking up to sometimes because, but like then there is really strong personality things that just come. Like Savi, Savi's so funny. She's the first one ready every single time. She'll be like in the car already. You know, I think I've told that before, but she will be like, where is Savi? And it's like, oh, she's already ready. She's like got her bag. She's in the car. She's ready to go, buckled up, like waiting for us, you know. And it's just their little personalities are so funny. Whereas like Sloan is the kind that will lay out her whole outfit the day before school so that she – she's like so organized in that kind of way because she wants to have, man, she loves fashion, you know, it's a combo thing, but anyway, whatever. So yeah, thanks for listening to me with that. It's just been like these things that lead to overwhelm. Like I just chose those as examples to highlight the idea of when I'm trying to control for certain factors and it's still like just not working.
Yeah. Did you know that while 97% of women take a prenatal vitamin, over 95% are still deficient? That's why I love recommending Needed's Prenatal. Unlike most prenatals, Needed doses nutrients in the right forms and amounts that go above and beyond to really support both mama and baby. I actually worked with Needed for years. We spent over 3 years researching, working with practitioners, and really intentionally choosing every single nutrient form and dosage that's put into the prenatal. And now we have the data to back it up. In an IRB study, they found that the women who took the Needed prenatal had higher blood levels of key nutrients like vitamin B6, vitamin D, vitamin B12, riboflavin, vitamin K2, and selenium, compared to women who are taking a regular prenatal. Even more powerful, only the Needed group had significant amounts of vitamin D in their system, which is essential for supporting the immune system, bone development, blood sugar, blood pressure regulation, and so much more. This study reinforces what we've known for a long time, that real nourishment really makes a difference, and the proper nutrients support fertility, pregnancy, and baby's health. Needed isn't just aiming for adequacy, they're supporting what's possible. No matter where you are along your fertility or pregnancy journey, Needed is what I recommend. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% on your first subscription order. Again, head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, now back to the show.
But I did just order a Skylight calendar.
Mm, oh, I wanted one of those. Yeah.
I am so excited. I cannot wait.
Yeah, you guys definitely need that because you have so many kids and so many activities. I mean, I think about that all the time. I'm like, how do you literally know where to be all the time? I mean, Mike and I, he refuses to have a digital calendar. And I'm like, every week that we have conflict, I'm like, this is – like you can't schedule that at the same time. And I thought about you, I have nothing happening really outside of like work. Like if we had four kids and sports and activities, I mean, literally how do you do it without something like that?
Well, I keep everything in my digital calendar. Yeah. And Wes refuses to have one as well. And he just keeps things in his head, but then sometimes he forgets.
I could never.
And, or sometimes he'll write like his work stuff down, but yeah, like he just texted me the flag football schedule the other day. So I input the entire thing into my calendar, yeah, like right away, literally right that second. I stopped what I was doing and I put it in my calendar because I know if I don't, we're totally screwed, you know? And so I'm very excited for the Skylight to organize all of that in a more visual way too, because everybody in the family has a different color code. So as the day comes up, you can see who's involved in which events.
Yes.
That's like cool. Savvy and Sloan's hip hop, it'll be like half each of those girls' color because they're both in it at the same time. When Wes was coaching Gage's basketball team, it would be like Wes's color and Gage's color because like he's going to take him. And so we can put in like who's going to take who where. Da, da, da. Yeah, because we're about to get into a season of the girls being in soccer and hip hop. Mm-hmm. And then Gage is going to be in flag football. And actually, he's not doing baseball, but there's something else that he was going to do. He might do soccer. He was like maybe interested in that. And I'm kind of like, normally we have a one sport rule, but some of these programs are short. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, it's only 6 weeks. I think we can manage that for a little bit. But anyway, yeah, I'm really excited about that because the task thing, they like every day that you can set these recurrent tasks that the kids have to, like their chore list. And so then they can come up and they can see it. And for the younger kids that can't read that well, which both Savvy and Sloan are starting to read. So I could type it out in a way that they can sound out, or I could use like emojis or something, but it could be, you know, like a morning list of these are the, you know, make your bed, brush your teeth, get your bag packed, get dressed, da, 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 whatever.
Cool.
And they can go and they can tap down the items. But then when they get home from school and it's like, okay, now we need to do some other things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's certain things that have been really the obstacle to them happening is me, because I'm like, how am I going to remember to get this all done with them, like giving Sloan her Lyme disease protocol and Sunday, or like doing the myofunctional work exercises with Gage and Savvy for their mouths. I'm like, how am I going to remember to do that? Like, so now I can put it on my list. Oh, I'm excited. I'm hoping it's going to change my entire life. I'll report back.
Oh my God. I hope it does. I had bought dry erase pages. So they have like check marks. So we have a whole calendar and then like a checklist for each person in the family where I'd write what we needed to do each day and then I would check it. I wasn't like I would do it every single day, but it did help organize things for me too, because especially with supplements where you have to give certain things in the morning and certain things with food and certain things, it's like, oh my God, did I even do that? Did I give that to her today? Like, I don't even know. But I would love it for it to be digital. Yes. Because then you can look at it not only in the pantry with the dry erase markers that sometimes get swiped away, you know? So that's so cool. So
yeah. Okay. See, like that's the thing. It's like,
oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like this dry erase marker is getting taken, you know, like that kind of thing. It's like, oh my gosh, please stop sabotaging my efforts to make this streamlined.
I know. So on the skylight or whatever it's called, can the kit, like, is it touchscreen? Like, they can knock off what they've yes. done? Oh my God. See, why did
it's
it
a touchscreen, but then you can have it locked. You can have it, the screen locked with a pin so that, like, if Sunday somehow got her hands on it, she couldn't mess everything up Smart. And delete a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the big kids, I'm going to have it kind of over by, like, to the right of our refrigerator, and there's going to be like a family discussion conversation around it. And uh-huh. it doesn't like get on the internet. It's not like an iPad where you can like do other stuff on it. It's right. literally like a calendar, but it can do meal plans, and you can take a screenshot of, say, like I had like that flag football thing I was just telling you, mm-hmm. I could have just taken a screenshot and inputted it. And they have an AI, like a ChatGPT version, that will pull the dates and input them into the calendar with it labeled. Yeah. I mean, it's fancy. It gets and, so yeah, you and I both need one of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love that. It is on my list. One day when maybe for my birthday, I'll get one. How fun.
I know. I know. It's an investment, and that's a downside. I mean, for sure.
It's fine. It's more just like, I wish I hadn't spent all that money on all the dry erase stuff. I wish I had known about this, but anyways,
your calendar though is I like the way that your calendar looks though. Like it was really impressive to me the first couple times I saw it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. But yeah, I think we just didn't know that the skylight existed.
Yeah, we didn't. I didn't know until recently, but I'm really excited for you. So would you call that your win, or is there another win that you have?
No, that's definitely my like problem. Oh, and my win. Yeah. My win will be really short, which is basically just that like I'm feeling this baby kick and move all the time now, which is really, really fun. And it's like kind of those quiet few weeks where you can feel it, but no one else can feel it. Yeah. And it's like you, although maybe last night or the night before, I had my hand like right where it was kicking and I could feel it on the outside. So Wes, I'm going to have to try to like track him down, but you know how it is. It's like, they'll be kicking, kicking, kicking. And then you're like, feel this. And then they stop.
Totally.
But 100%. It's sweet. And I'm starting to think about, you know, like, wow, there really is a growing person inside of me. And I knew that, but it feels so much more real when you can perceive them. And I'm like, and it's all the time now. I mean, it's multiple times an hour. It's like, I don't even think about it anymore, because it's, you know, 75 times a day or something like that, where I just feel these little like beep pop, boop pop, boop pop, little emotions and stuff. So that's my win, because it's such a good feeling.
I cannot believe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very, very excited.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. It'll be really fun, but I totally get the overwhelm. I, you know, I think about you all the time because I get overwhelmed with two children and you have so many more kids, and you know, it is a lot, especially like you mentioned about the violating of sleep, because the hardest thing for me postpartum with the lack of sleep is just like you said, it's not like I have to get up because I want to go do something and it's early and I'm choosing that and it's hard and I'm still struggling with sleep, but like I chose that, you know, being woken up out of sleep when you desperately need it yet you cannot, it is like a form of torture, even though you love your child and you like need to be there for them, to just not, it is so violating to not get your needs met, and something so basic as sleep, you know, is just, I don't know, it's super triggering. It's really hard, so I get that.
Yeah, it's a riff, but anyways, okay, so let's talk about yours. Sorry, enough about me. Electrolytes are trending, yes, but they have been in need of our human bodies for all of time. And if you're drinking another popular and delicious salty electrolyte, here's why you should be drinking Relight instead. First of all, have you ever considered the salt source of these other brands? Because most of them just use table salt. Yeah, table salt. You don't want that. Redmond's Relight Powders uses their unrefined ancient sea salt that they mine in Utah. This salt source contains 60 plus trace minerals, along with calcium, chloride, potassium, and magnesium in two different forms, glycinate and malate. The minerals that they use in the Relight Powders are all in the appropriate proportions and forms too. The metabolic needs of pregnancy, healing postpartum, and milk making require more minerals than in other times of your life. Pregnancy itself demands huge increases in your blood volume, which takes, you know, more minerals. Relight is the perfect blend to be sipping during your pregnancy or during your labor even, and especially while you're breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, lemon lime, and the strawberry lemonade. But you can try a sample pack and try all the flavors for yourself and see what you think. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% on your entire Redmond order. That includes their OG sea salt, other seasonings, bentonite clays, toothpaste, and more.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that I could say, but if I had to pick one little mini update, it is that I feel really excited getting back into working out, because I had a C-section. If any of you have followed, this was my second C-section, and it was a long recovery for me. And I felt really weak and sad about that. And I started doing some intentional core exercises that were specific for C-section. And it's just crazy how little you can do after a C-section, and especially being someone who's always worked out and is strong. I'm not the person who's like, I must bounce back or I need to be back to running marathons, you know, a few months after pregnancy or birth. Like, that is not me at all. I'm very good at respecting my body, but I felt it was time because I was weak and it was hurting my back. And so anyways, I started that, you know, just slow and steady, some YouTube videos of doing some core reactivation. And I just feel really proud of myself because it's not crazy. It's not like I work out every day. I'm not the most super, you know, consistent, but 3 or 4 times a week I have, and I moved on to Pilates, and then I was doing some Melissa Wood exercises. She's more like gentle yoga Pilates, and I was starting to get stronger and feel really good. And then I just joined Lindsay Harrod's Uplift community, and I did my first workout with them today. And for anyone who's like interested, I'll put a code in the bottom because you can save $20. But she's amazing, and I was doing like booty workouts, and I have not done that in so long. And I was just, I don't know, it's, you know, we go through seasons as women, and I feel like there are just different seasons, and I am personally in the season of kind of getting myself back, you know, after going through fertility and pregnancy and postpartum. And I'm just like, oh, I'm like getting it back, and it's just fun.
Your mojo is coming back. Good for you. I was like more interested in working out. I do remember, for me, I don't know if it's like this for you because now you're kind of into the swing of things, but for me, it's very much like if I get into it consistently, I become like obsessed, mm-hmm. and then it feels so good and I want to do it every day and I like crave it. But then when you fall out of it and you forget what that's like, it's so easy to just not make time for it.
I mean, I would say that's pretty normal. Yeah. It's like it's so hard to get out of it. You just kind of have to force yourself back into it, I feel. And yeah, I don't know. I
do really love walking. Walking is my main thing, but it doesn't give me like an endorphin rush, you know?
I'm just feeling like I'm getting stronger, and it's really hard to know when something happens like a surgery. And I know that people have C-sections all the time, but when it's happening to you, I'm just like, am I ever going to be the way I was before? And motherhood changes you in a way where you are never the way you are before. And in many ways, that's really beautiful. And in other ways, it can be more challenging. And for me, having my core, you know, cut open 2 different times has been harder, not because of like the aesthetics of it, although, you know, that's less than ideal. You know, when I look at myself in the mirror and I just have this huge, you know, scar and a huge ledge of tissue of just lymph, and it's just all, you know, I'm doing the most I can to break up scar tissue and stuff, but it's just not, especially as I'm getting ready for spring and swimsuit season. We were supposed to go on a vacation to Mexico, but the place we were supposed to go was like under attack from the cartels, so we had to cancel that trip. But I was just getting ready, you know, to be in a bikini and a swimsuit, and you know, I had bought all these new swimsuits that cover my C-section, and it's not necessarily that I feel bad about myself or anything like that. It's not really why I work out, but it's more the strength, and just not having a core is a really big deal, you know, when you're trying to do things in life and just be a mom or just whatever. And then there is the piece of coming back to myself as a woman and as a sensual woman and just feeling sexy and all of that. And so anywho, the whole exercise journey has been really lovely, and I'm getting excited, and I still notice things. Even today in the exercise I did, I was like, ooh, wow, that's like really hard for me, and that wouldn't have been hard before my C-section. And I just have to give myself grace and do what I can. But I am proud of myself for doing it and for showing up for myself. And it does feel like a different season. When I was postpartum, newly postpartum, I was just like, I do not care. I mean, there is no rhyme or reason to my life. There's no schedule. There's no routine. I sleep when I can. I eat when I can. You know, you're kind of in survival mode. And I teach this in my courses in womanhood wellness and stuff. I teach so much about how the body loves routine and hormones love routine. And that is absolutely so true. But that sort of just goes out the window when you're pregnant and postpartum. And everything is sort of opposite. It's like, don't eat 3 square meals, eat all day long, like graze all the time. You know, like it's just different. But now that I am not pregnant or postpartum, and I am now back in this season of just being a woman with a cycle and doing all of that, at least for me, it is so true that I just feel so much better when I have a routine and when it's consistent and when I, you know, do the same thing over and over again. And so that's something I'm just really proud of myself in general. And a big win is that Cade is sleeping better. You know, last life update, he was not. And he is now, and he's teething his last two teeth, and then he will have all of his teeth except for his, like, two-year molars at 15 months, which is just – I mean, he's just turning 15 months today, basically, or tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fast. That is a fast dentition for sure.
It is. And so his last two little two bottom corner ones are poking through at this exact moment, and then all – every single one of his little teeth are in before he – I mean, he's 15 months tomorrow. So – it's been a gnarly teething year, you know, and that's why his sleep has been insane. He was little and all of this stuff. So now that that feels more locked in, I'm excited to be able to have more predictability of, okay, I can go to bed at this time and know I can wake up at this time and have sleep in between, you know, which is just, again, such a luxury when you don't think about it. And Mike and I are trying really hard because he has been on a routine of getting up and going to the gym, which again is not something he's been able to do because of his back, and his back is better than it's ever been. And I've been waking up at 5 a.m., you guys. This is so crazy because I'm such a sleep snob. I am such a sleep snob, but I have so much work that I've had to do, and it's been really hard to get it done during the middle of the day. Mike has to work. I have to work. Our childcare has kind of been in and out. We actually got our nanny sick. I feel really bad about it. So we just haven't had a lot of support. And so we literally have things we have to do and they have to get done. And we try to be as present as we can with our kids. It's not perfect. But I have just found when I wake up at 5 a.m., I'm so creative and I'm so locked in for writing content or whatever I'm doing for whatever's coming up. And I know this all consciously. I teach it. Like, going to bed early and waking up early is so good for you. But to live it and to actually have that experience is so amazing. And so that's been something.
I am so impressed.
It's fun. Mike wakes me up.
Are you not tired? Like, is it hard for you? Are you like, oh, I don't want to? Or are you just like, bing, here I am. Good morning.
I'm not necessarily like bing, but Mike wakes me up when he goes to the gym. So I don't have the alarm go off, which actually has been really nice because it's not so jarring. And then he makes sure I get up, which is so sweet, because if the alarm went off and I was just like, no, I'm just going to snooze and go back to bed. You guys, I teach this in my course, and because I've known this from the past, snoozing, which is when you like wake up and go back to sleep, is the very worst thing ever you could ever do for your hormones. It's terrible because you have the surge of cortisol and then you go back to sleep. And so your melatonin, your sleep hormone surges, and then it overrides your cortisol. And so you don't have enough cortisol to like get your oomph to get out of bed. And for me, it just sets the tone for the whole day to just be low energy and shitty. I just feel so shitty when I snooze. And the science is very clear on it as well. But in our minds, we think, oh no, I need that more sleep. So I need to go back to sleep. And so there have been times, you know, when Cade's woken up at 4 or 5 and I'm like, I'm going to go back to sleep. But I feel so terrible on those days. So I literally feel better on the days that I just get up at 5 and just stay up, even though there's less sleep, because I haven't had this groggy start to my day. I have more energy and I'm tired at the end of the day and I want to go to sleep, you know, earlier, but that's healthy. But how I feel during the day is so much better. But I'm not like jump out of bed. But when Mike comes and he's like, it's time to wake up, you know, it's not like I cannot. It's not like I have extreme adrenal fatigue where I literally cannot get up out of bed. But I do think so many women, even who, you know, say they have adrenal fatigue and stuff, there's so much snoozing that goes on because you're like, I'm so exhausted and I need to just like get a little bit more, like 5 more minutes is going to make all the difference of sleep. And it's like, I am here to say, no, it doesn't. It like, just get up. It is so much better for your hormones to just get up, put water on your face, do something, and then go to bed early that night. You know, don't stay up super late. So that's kind of been my, you know, win season. As far as my challenge,
Wait, hold on. I have another question. So do you get up and then your kids aren't awake yet. So you're working in that like hour.
Yeah. I literally go get my laptop and I work and I get so much done, because for me, like, you feel overwhelmed with your kids. I have 2 children, and yes, when they're being crazy, it is overwhelming, but Avia's sort of like a Selah. She's, you know, our friend Selah's older.
Yeah, Selah's our friend's oldest.
Yeah, she's helpful. Like, we all do the dishes now after dinner every night. Again, okay, so this is a routine. We're just getting into a routine as a family, and it is literally, like, it's making me so happy because I was thinking about this the other day. Freedom is my number one value. It's why I want to own my own business. It's why I do so many of the things that I do. I want freedom. I don't want to have the lack of freedom, right? But the feminine energy, which we talk about masculine and feminine on the podcast a lot, the feminine energy is creative. It's flow. It's like being in the flow. It is flexibility. It is freedom. It really thrives when there's a masculine container around it. And I know that that sounds counterintuitive and people would be like, no, I need to be able to do whatever I want whenever I want. Like, I don't want a routine. I don't want this. Like, I want to just do whatever. And that's okay. It's totally okay. I think that's beautiful too. But at least for me, I feel like my feminine energy and my happiness and everything thrives so much more when there is a masculine container holding my lifestyle, which is that routine. And a lot of people love their routine. They're very regimented, but I'm not a regimented person. But this whole routine of just the predictability and knowing when things are coming and doing it all. And so now our kids are in an age where, like, we can have that more. And although I love the season of just whenever and, like, survival of, like, postpartum, it has its beauty as well. It's not as easy for me as a human. Like, as the woman Leah, I don't thrive as much in that as I do now. So yeah, with that being said, like, we cook dinner and then all of us as a family clean up the kitchen together, which is different than we used to. We used to then get the kids ready for bed and do the whole bedtime routine. And then once the kids were asleep, I would go and clean the kitchen, or Mike would clean the kitchen. But then if I was exhausted and tired, or we wanted to be together or whatever, then the kitchen wouldn't get cleaned. And then we'd wake up to a dirty kitchen and it's just like, oh, you know. So now it is just a thing. Like, we all as a family, after we eat right away, we all clean the kitchen. And Avia does dishes. It's so cute. She doesn't do a good job, but she does, like, you know, it's so cute. So she sits at the sink and Kate even wants to, like, try to help. He, like, takes straws in and out of the dishwasher and put them in. And it's just like this whole family thing. And then, you know, there's just this routine of when we're going to bed. And so, yeah, at 5 o'clock when I wake up, the kitchen's clean because we cleaned it the night before. I sit and I work. And Cade has been waking up around 5:30 or 6, unfortunately, and he's, like, awake. So I'm just like, oh, this is so frustrating that you're waking up so early. I wish you would sleep longer. But I will have at least had an hour, 30 minutes to an hour of work before, and it just feels really good. I don't know. I'm working out. I'm doing workouts in the morning, and I'm just more consistent with it. And I don't know. I'm thriving in that regard. So it's fun.
I love that. I think that's so cool. I'm one of those people that right when I'm first waking up, I feel like it's been the most, like, it's the best part of my sleep is, like, in those early morning hours. And so I'm, like, so comfy in my bed. And I'm not somebody, Wes just, like, pops out of bed. Like, he has no problem. He just, like, gets up and I'm like, you don't like want to just kind of wallow in the bed a little bit? He does not. But Gage is exactly like me. I mean, I know he's like getting into his preteen years too, but he's like, Mom, wake me up so that I can just lay here. like do the snooze thing, basically. He's like,
yeah,
wake me up so that I can just lay and be, not that he's literally falling back asleep, but he loves that, like, early morning, like, comfy feeling in his bed. And so do I, and I never want to get out of it.
I know. I mean, I love it too. I feel like it's like you love cookies. Like, I love cookies, but they don't necessarily make me feel good, you know? Like, I love that.
No, it's true. Like,
but yeah, it's not when, like,
you
when
do
I feel
get
like
up,
that.
Like, if you have an early morning flight or something, yeah, and you just have to get up and there's no negotiation around it. Like, you really do have to do it. It is surprising how after, like, 10 minutes, it's not even that long. Mm-mm. You'll be, like, fully awake and it's totally fine. But there's a hump there.
Yeah. The
so
hump,
difficult to get past.
The hump is hard, but I've literally been teaching this to my patients for years and years and years. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, I know that you're not going to want to, trust me. Like, if you literally just get up, pop up out of bed, go move your body, splash water on your face. And then, you know, within 30 minutes, eat, like, some high protein, high fat breakfast, you will feel like an absolute rock star. And those two things are so simple, yet 99% of people don't do them. And they're like, wonder why they don't feel good. And I'm like, it literally those two things, that's it. That's all you have to do. Like, just try it and see. And
yeah, I agree.
I guarantee your energy and your clarity, your mental, everything. It's insane. You don't even have to do anything.
It blows my mind how many people don't eat breakfast. I'm like, what? You don't wake up starving? I mean, it's like the first thing. Yeah.
I know.
But it is such, if you guys are listening to this and you're one of those people that does not eat breakfast, do it for 1 week and then see how you feel. And yeah. Just an experiment for 1 week. Say, I'm going to cram face, you know, food down my face, even if it sounds disgusting, like whatever, get it done. And you will probably be shocked, but yeah. Okay. Anyways,
and then
let's go on to your
challenge. Yeah. And I won't spend a ton of time on my challenge since we're almost at the hour, but I would say if I had to pick a challenge, I've had so many challenging seasons and, you know, intimacy wise is going really well. Cade's sleeping. We're in a routine. I'm feeling really good. The biggest stressor and challenge for us right now is we're just in the season at this exact moment that I need to, my business needs to be doing better from a financial perspective to help out the family unit. And so that is stressful. And I'm such a glass half full person. I always have been. Automatically my brain just goes to the positive thing. And I don't know if that's a taught thing, a learned thing, an inherent thing. I don't know, but I'm trying to focus on that where I'm like, okay, well, this is pushing me into actually, you know, making my business work for me better and be more efficient and like make different decisions and really being in that more CEO mindset that for a long time I had my business. We found out about Mike Sperm when I was halfway through medical school. So the entire time that I have been graduated as a doctor and had a business, we have been in the fertility journey the entire time. You know, the infertility journey, then the IVF, then the pregnant, vomiting, sick, not able to see patients, you know, barely getting by, then postpartum, you know, sleep deprivation. I mean, literally I'm coming out for the first time after 10 years of either being dealing with infertility, IVF treatments, pregnancy, or postpartum. First time in 10 years where I'm like finally out of that fog, you know, when Cade finally started sleeping like a month ago, like that's the first time. And so I've had a business. I've obviously seen hundreds of patients. I've done all of these things. I actually look back on myself. I'm like, wow, I can't believe you've done everything that you have in that season of like all of that intensity. But it was never like the business was booming. It was maintaining and it was great. It was good enough. It was like what it needed to be, but it was never on like that next level. And I'm not a person who needs to be on that next level because I'm like a boss babe and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do all these things. And it's not even like that. But I've never had to, from a financial perspective, make it go to the next level. You know, it's like I have done well enough. It's been good enough for what we've needed so that I could also focus on all of these other things that were a priority. So right now we're in just like a slightly different season, but I'm in a different place. So I'm grateful for that, right? Like I'm not in this season where things need to be working better. And I'm also, you know, newly postpartum, like that would be really sad and shitty. So I feel like I'm in a better place where I can step into that.
I love when you cuss. You never cuss. I love when you cuss.
I know you do.
It's so rare. You guys, it's so rare. It's either usually like when you're really mad or like, I don't even know what brings it out. Why did you say that just now?
Oh my God, what did I even say? I don't even know.
You said shitty. You never say anything.
That's so funny.
I'm always the one.
You are always the one. I mean, I would never say like the F word or something. It does come out when I'm really passionate or really, really angry. But yeah, I don't know why it came out. Really shitty. What did I even say? I don't even remember.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. It's okay. No,
I mean, you were saying it would be really shitty to be like having to grow your business and feeling that pressure financially while also being postpartum, which by the way, I want to say you're still breastfeeding. You're not like fully past it. So
that's true.
It's like you're going to even feel better in the future at some point when, you know, there's no demand on your body from a child in that kind of way.
Yeah.
Because you're still actually doing like quite a lot with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's only 15 months. Like, but I get what you mean that you're not immediately postpartum, but I guess I just want to say,
yeah,
like,
thank you.
I just want to call it out that.
Thank you for that.
You are still actually.
And I do feel overwhelmed. You know, I tell Mike, my husband, where I'm just like, I feel like I am doing so much right now. It's a lot, you know, it's so much. And he's doing a lot too. And that's why we're in like a really weird season where my husband's incredible. He's amazing. And he literally just brought me lunch just now. He like walked in the door and he like made me like a beautiful lunch, and he makes dinner and he cleans the house and he does all of these things. And he also has a startup and it's really hard. It's just a weird it's a weird world right now. And so we're in a weird place and I just need my business to be in a different place. And so from that, like, positive, yes, I am in a better place than I have been before, but also, you know, I'm such a believer that things happen for a reason, and business exists for two reasons, right? For having an impact on the world, you know, whether you have a product or a service or you teach or whatever, you're impacting the world. You're impacting other people's lives. And then you hopefully have some sort of energetic exchange in the form of money or purpose or whatever for that, right? So you're giving and you're getting. And the getting part from the financial perspective, I think my business always served, yes, I definitely made enough money, but I was being fed more from purpose and from helping. You know, having impact and having purpose was enough for me. And now there's this third element. Like, I'm really stepping into understanding finances more and just not shying away from that. I'm taking a finance course called Dow Janes, and I'm just trying to become more savvy myself, but then also looking at my business more like a business and not a hobby. Not that my business was ever a hobby, but just like, this needs to make sense financially or I can't do it kind of thing. I'm now at that place because I have two little kids and, you know, we have a household that we need to run and all of these things. And so it's been a lot because this is my new frontier. I mastered hormones. I mastered fertility. I've mastered libido and sex. Like, these are the three things that I teach about in my membership and in my courses. And they've been my three biggest struggles. They've been so, so hard. And I truly feel like I'm like, they are behind me where I can teach and serve. It's not my current struggle. My current struggle is financial, which is weird. But I have that space, right? It's almost like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, even though financial is on the lowest level, you know, on that hierarchy of needs. For me, financial was never actually something that I knew. I've had money issues and money blockage issues and all of that, but that was never a priority. It's like, okay, I don't care about that. I want a baby, you know, like, I want a baby before I solve my like money problems. You know, I want to be able to not have painful sex before I solve my money problems. You know, it's like, it wasn't as high of a priority for me. And now it is showing itself to me of like, this is your new frontier. This is your new form of, you know, your new vehicle of self-growth and the new place that you need to go and dig up all of the stuff and go do the shadow work and do all the things. And so I'm no stranger to it at this point, but it's just a different world. And that's what I'm in. So that's where I'm at. And
I love
it. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of new things from me coming down the pipeline this year in 2026 because I
know you're like a creation. You're in a, like, just, you're pumping it out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And now I know when you do it, it's at 5 a.m.
Yes, exactly. It's at 5 a.m. or, you know, I still work, you know, during the day hours as much as I can, but it's not enough to run the level of type of business that I've been running. I mean, I need more hours, but I don't want them. I have amazing support now. We have a new way of how we're going to be doing things. It's just been a huge transition. So with Cade and his teething and lack of sleep, I was in the middle of that transition. So that has been really hard, you know, doing all of this all at the same time, and also just having more of that, you know, lack of incredible financial abundance and security. But it's coming. I can feel it. I feel it's coming, and it's going to be great. So hopefully in a few months, I'll have a really fun update for you that I have mastered financials and we're in a good place.
Good. I love that. I mean, I feel like I'll ride the coattails of whatever it is you learn. Sounds good, great.
I did a reading from a Vedic astrologer, and he actually told me that. He's like, you have a lot of karma around money, and he's like, you need to master money or it's going to bite you in the butt kind of thing. And so I was like, I hear you loud and clear. He's like, you are meant to teach money, which I'm like, no way. Like, how, you know, no way. I'm not that good. But I'm like, I've done that with all the other things that I've struggled with. You know, I've overcome them, and then I've gone back and taught them. And I never thought money would be that, but I think it is. And so I'm in my learning years, but I will be sharing what I learn. I think it's going to be important.
Okay, I can be patient Z with that. Please tell me all the things. Perfect. You know.
Perfect.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening to our, you know, just our real lives. And we've gotten a lot of feedback in the past that people love these episodes. Mm-hmm. Please keep us posted on how that is still being received. I think it's important. I think about my own self as my own target market. Mm-hmm. If there was a podcast of mentor-ish type people that I learned a lot from, and then they would actually share their own personal experiences and whatever they're going through, I personally would love that. Yeah. Because I learn best through examples and feeling connected to somebody and being like, okay, you're a real person. You're not like this robot where everything's perfect. And I think that that's a frustrating facade that is people are starting to get over already. And AI and everything like that has just come out, but people are like, this is not fulfilling or satisfying because it's not real. But also just to see, I don't know, there's just something about it that makes you feel more human to share where things are challenging, that it's like, yeah, it's not all rainbows and roses, but like, here's what I'm doing about it. And like, here's the angle that I'm taking or whatever, but then also to share the wins. And it's always important to share the wins too, because I think sometimes people get together or they have friendships or all they hear is the challenge and the negativity and stuff. And it's like, hold on, what is going well in your life? Like, tell me, I want to hear it. Yeah. I want to hear everything. It reminds me of Jahaz. Do you remember Jahaz from school? She told me one time that she has a friend and their whole basis of their relationship is they call each other to like tell each other basically what's going well in their lives. Aww. And it like kind of like as if you were like sort of bragging, but like without that energy of it being a negative thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I know whenever I get a call from her that it's she's calling to tell me something that's like, you know, she got an she's like on a date with a smoking hot man or like – she got a raise or whatever, or she has like, she thinks she looks fly today, like whatever, like,
so
you know,
cute.
And I just thought that was so cool. Yeah. Like they have the whole basis of the relationship is to share what's going well and pump each other up and just be like hype girls.
That's amazing. So cool. I think that's great. Cause I think it's so normal for us to have the one person that we always call when things are going bad and to share. And that's important too, to have support when things are hard. But I don't feel like we give a lot of reverence to that. Like I know of a person in my life who if I haven't heard from her in a while, I literally it's probably because her life is going well, because the only time I tend to hear from her is when things are a struggle, which is fine and I'm happy to play that role. But it's also like you can also like tell me when things are good, you know, you can tell me if things are going great. It's not only when things are hard.
Exactly.
So I love that, and I think it is important to not sugarcoat and say like, oh, there's nothing bad going on, but also not only focus on the negative and not realize all the blessings and all the amazing things that are shifting. So I think it's beautiful and wonderful. And I agree. This is one thing AI can't take over. AI is taking over a lot of things and it's really sad. And it's part of why the reason we're in the boat we are, you know, in our household, but not entirely, but it definitely is contributing in a bigger way. But we have to find these things, you know, that AI can't take over. And I think that this is one of them. So let us know if you guys like these updates and these episode types. And yeah, I think it's great.
Okay, thanks. We'll be back to lecturing on some deep physiological process next week.
Yes.
All right, bye.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.